Over a decade later, and with punk, football clubs, and duets with Miss Piggy on The Muppet Show all under the bridge, Elton may not have been as cutting-edge as he once was. However, by now he'd officially joined the ranks of the rock aristocracy, as Chris Salovitz reported for Q magazine in 1986.
I've had my scrotum removed, and I'm having it transplanted to the end of my nose. Backstage at the Universal Amphitheatre in Los Angeles, Elton John is engaging in merry banter with a collection of pre-concert party guests, who include Sting, Barry Manilow, and the inevitable Joan Collins. It's royalty, isn't it? Trudy Styler, the mother of two of Sting's children, delivers an aside. Joan Collins is Princess Margaret, I suppose. Floating discreetly about the background, searching in vain for an ashtray, is Renate Blauwel, the studio tape operator Elton married on St. Valentine's Day 1984, an event that surprised quite a few people. Elton is attired in a sumptuous costume modelled on that of a Regency fop. This is a colour-coordinated affair. Elton's periwig, a similar shade of strawberry pink, to that of the champagne that is flowing freely in fist-sized paper cups. To his right cheek has been added a distinctive beauty spot that nestles on the edge of the permanent playful grin he also wears. Here, one feels, is a man clearly enjoying life. Weighty subjects are being broached. Was it the stress of the grueling schedule he set himself in the early 1970s that caused all his hair to fall out? No, it was bad dye. It was when I had my hair pink and green. I used to have it done at Smile in London, and it was never a problem. Then I had it done somewhere in New York, and next time I took a shower, I glanced down at my feet, and it was like the murder scene from Psycho. Pink water and great tufts of hair everywhere. Immensely approachable is the phrase used by almost all who have come in contact with Elton John to describe one of the very few performers of popular music about whom almost no one will offer a bad word. Elton John seems to be universally perceived as one of the good guys, an everyman-like underdog who, through a combination of extreme tenacity and exceptional talent, underpinned by a palpable sense of the absurd, and possibly also by a lucky star, has triumphed time and again over the ignominy of being myopic, chubby Reg Dwight from Pinner. To an extent, this is most acutely symbolized, perhaps more than by his musical success, by the Roy of the Rovers-like story of his chairmanship of Watford Football Club, who in 10 years he transformed from a struggling fourth division side into FA Cup finalists and Division One runners-up. You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the red you hide behind that mask. But a few resent him for the assiduous manner by which, during the course of the 1980s, he has re-established a career that, for a variety of reasons, had severely sagged by the end of the last decade. Part of the problem then was that many of his fans were unable to keep pace with the relentless outpouring of fresh Elton John product. In the first 6 years of the 1970s, he released 17 albums and countless singles. But there were also other reasons, not the least of which was that his personal quality control seemed prepared to accept a lower standard. Now, however, through a steady stream of exceptional singles and albums, he has announced that he is not only once again firmly in touch with the source of his talent, but that, in frequent instances, he is soundly outstripping his efforts of the early 1970s. Always a live performer of extraordinary warmth and untrammeled, unrefined energy, Elton John's live shows always came much closer to the rock and roll of his idol, Little Richard, than did the softer sound of his records. And this Universal Amphitheatre show, the first of 7 nights at the 7,000-seater venue, is outstanding, superb rock and roll.
That was Rock's Back Pages, presented by me, Stuart McConey, and produced by Nicky Birch and Matt Hall. It's a Something Else production for BBC Radio 2.